If you will, to get your Bibles, and then we're going to have you stand up, because this is sort of a battle-ready theme, so we thought, how good would it be to stand up? We're going to be looking at Ephesians chapter 6, Ephesians chapter 6. So as soon as you get that, we're going to stand up, and we're going to read the Word of God together this morning in the name of Jesus. Ephesians chapter 6. Paul is exhorting the church at Ephesus. And he says this, we're going to read together starting in verse 10. It says, we're reading from the English Standard Version. It says, finally, be strong in the Lord and in the strength of his might. Put on, can you say it with me? Put on the whole armor of God that you may be able to stand against the schemes of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against the rulers, against the authorities, against the cosmic powers over this present darkness, against the spiritual forces of evil in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand firm, stand therefore, having fastened on the belt of truth, and having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and as shoes for your feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In all circumstances, take up the shield of faith, with which you can extinguish all the flaming darts of the evil one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying at all times in the Spirit with all prayer and supplication. To that end, keep alert with all perseverance, making supplication for all the saints. And also for me, that the words may be given to me in opening my mouth, boldly to proclaim the mystery of the gospel, for which I am an ambassador in chains, that I may declare it boldly as I ought to speak. Let's pray this morning. God, would you give us shoes for our feet, that we would put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In Jesus' name we pray, and everyone said, amen. Amen. Take a seat, high five your neighbor, and say, we're getting ready to put some shoes on. Hopefully you came in with shoes, because I do believe I hear rain outside. And that will be sort of a crazy thing if you did not have shoes this morning. When I was young, anybody in the house young this morning, that means like you're 10 or younger. And when I was young, I used to go barefoot. Anybody barefoot kind of people? Yeah, you down the bayou people all raising your hand. We see you. And so we had a farm. We actually had cows and chickens and things like that. And we literally, I was just young. So I just went like barefoot, right? Like to the back where the cow pasture is. The little pickers would get in your feet. You know what I'm talking about? And you would have to like pull them out of your feet. That's sort of where I was when I was in my teens. When I went to college, I went to the Nichols State University and was a believer. I was a Christian. And we were at the Baptist Student Union. Basically, if you were a Christian at the time, there were no other clubs for you. And so you only could join that one because it was Christian. And so we decided my senior year at college that we were going to tell people about Jesus. And one of the best ways that we could tell people about Jesus was to start a flag football team for girls. And we were going to play against all of the sororities, the dorm teams. If you've ever been to college, like, this is a big deal. And so so my senior year, they elected me to be the quarterback. You know, we weren't going to do good. And so they said, basically, it was like, we're going to tell you what you're going to do because there's only eight of you. And that's, you know, so it was crazy. And I remember in college, all I would do was wear flip-flops. I was young and I just put on flip-flops every day. It's a neat thing about college. You don't have uniforms, right? You don't have to like dress. You don't have to wear what you got to wear in school. So I would just put on flip-flops, short and a t-shirt. And so on the, we had these shirts for our flag football team because we were broke. And so no shame in being broke in college. And so we had a shirt. We spray painted the shirt with a cross. I think we were like called the Cross Trainers, or I don't know what our team was called. Something that was going to lead everybody to Jesus. Hallelujah. And so we were on the back. You had to pick your favorite scripture. And y'all, I just thought I really liked flip-flops. And in the book of Song of Solomon, which is a little bit risque, Song of Solomon 7:1 verse A, it says, your feet looks really good in sandals. So I spray paint that on the back of my shirt. Song of Solomon 7 verse 1. I mean, I still have it memorized to this day, and I'm almost 50 years old. And I love flip-flops. But whenever I went to teach, I loved cheap shoes. You know what I'm talking about? The knockoff shoes. The shoes you get at Walmart. They're Nike instead of Nike, you know? And some of y'all got those on. There is no shame. There is no shame if you got those kind of shoes on. And so I would just find for many years of my life, up until like I got whatever this is happening to me. And these are shoes, right? And they're cheap. And they're like, I wear them and I just keep on wearing them. I don't care if you like them. They were cheap. They're white. They look good. God moves when you wear white shoes. And so it was just like where I needed to be at until the beginning or the end of last year. Something happened, and I was walking, and I got some cheap shoes, some walking shoes off of Amazon. This is not a good thing. Don't do this. This isn't a bad example. So it was a Black Friday sale, right? And so I was like, I need a new pair of shoes. I've gutted my other ones out. I've walked so much. I was walking 2 to 3 miles a day pretty faithfully. And so I'm going to get the, you know, right away Amazon, like, kind of sale, like, ooh. And so I get it right away. It's like $30, y'all, for walking shoes. Not a good choice. Not a good choice. So I get the shoes. Shoes in the mail, I throw away my old rat-a-tat shoes, you know, in the garbage, not a good choice. And so I put on my $30 walking shoes, and I'm like, huh, it's weird. Like something's wrong, you know, like my feet felt like a little funky. And so I'm gonna suck it up. I'm gonna bear it up, you know, and I keep on walking day after day, and finally I'm like, Ted, I can't walk. Like something's wrong. And there is like some problems, and y'all, like I had to like stop walking and stop like getting fitted because I put on some shoes that were not fitted properly. And when I was young and I went in barefoot, or when I was in college and I went in flip-flops, or whenever I was cheap and I went in whatever cheap shoe, that was not a problem. But something happened called age, someone told me this morning. And he says, Miss Terry, you know the reason why your feet hurt is because you're getting old. Just flat out told me that. He's in the back of the room if you want to talk to him after service. And so I'm sitting there and I'm like, seriously? I thought we were friends, you know? And he says, Miss Tara, because he's going for orthopedic at school. And so I said, that's your problem, is you're getting old. And I just looked at him. And I have to buy now with my blow money, which is not fun for me. I have to get expensive shoes. These are called, what are these called? Hoka. My children know. I don't have a clue. And sometimes it helps, and sometimes I'm still crying and wincing because I have to get my feet prepared for what I am getting ready to do. Paul understood that. And he's writing to the people at Ephesus, and he's giving them a battle scene, and he says, put on the belt of truth. And again, we talked about this, like belts in our day are different. Belts helped everything for the soldiers stay together. Last week, we talked about putting on the breastplate of righteousness, the imputed righteousness of Christ, which means that God paid the price through his son, Jesus. But also, we are to walk rightly. We are to walk correctly, without sin. We are to look like Christ. In 1 Peter, it says, be holy because I am holy. There's a righteousness that comes with serving Christ. Today, Paul would take a battle scene. I think we have a soldier picture. I'm not sure that we do. But question is, are your shoes ready for the assignment that God has given you? Now, these shoes, young people would say he got his dogs out. But we'll be all right. We'll be all right. These shoes are fitted for the gospel. Now, in a soldier, in biblical times, you notice some things about these shoes. Do you notice the thick soles? They weren't just, they probably were made with hides and leather. The thick soles were multiple layers. Why? Because as a soldier, or really as an individual, you would walk everywhere you go. And the place was rocky and stony. So you understood that if your shoes were going to work properly, you had to have thick soles. You have to have thick skin these days, but you had to have thick soles in biblical days so that the rocks wouldn't pierce and you would be able to fight in the fight that you had. Or maybe there were thorns or debris in the road and you needed to make sure that your shoes had thick soles. But they also had studs in the, or hobnails that would sort of help the soldier to stay steady or to stay steadfast. It was mostly located, if you can imagine, cleats at the bottom of a soccer shoe. And so what it would do is they would have thick soles, but they would also have these hobnails, these little spikes, if you would, and that would steady the shoe so that you could hold your ground. But look at the shoe again. There's straps around the shoe. Now, as we age, we understand that that is for support. It's like getting a really good pair of LeBron James shoes, and you have to put them on because you need some really good support. There were straps for the foot and the ankle for stability. And at any time that you would go on a long march, and you would march 10 and 15 miles a day, you would need thick soles. You would need hobnails, but you would also need support so at the end of the day, your ankles aren't flaming. You know what I'm talking about? And you can barely walk because you've got a mission and an assignment, and your shoes were a part of the assignment. They were also built for distance and durability. Soldiers marched before they ever fought. Let me tell you that again. Soldiers marched before they ever fought in a battle. So shoes in biblical time weren't about fashion. Some of our shoe closets is because we're so fashionable. Like you've got a pair of shoes for every week, for every outfit, especially ladies. And so you have all these shoes that match for the outfit, but battle shoes are not about fashion. They were about stability, endurance, readiness, not losing your footing when things got intense. So if your feet were wrecked, you were basically unable to fight. If you slipped out of that mountain or that crevice, you were vulnerable. If you couldn't march that day, the army would leave you and you couldn't get to where you needed to be. So let's look closely at the scriptures. Ephesians 6, we're going to look at that verse quickly, 6 and chapter 15. Now I have three versions of this. Oh, it doesn't look good, but hopefully you can see it. Okay, I have three versions of the same verse for you so that we can sort of look at the scriptures. And so the first one is English Standard Version. The next one will be NIV. And then the next one will be King James Version. It says this in Ephesians 6, and as your shoes for feet, having put on the readiness given by the gospel of peace. In the NIV, it says it like this, and with your feet fitted, somebody say fitted, with readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. So similar, but there's a fitting that happens in the NIV. In the King James Version, it says it like this, and your feet shod. Some of y'all know what that means. To have your feet shod, which is a fancier, more biblical term for fitted. It says, and have your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. So this morning, we're going to break down that verse into three points. First point, we're going to use the NIV, if you'll let me. It says this, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. Number one, feet are fitted. Okay, so if you're writing notes this morning, write that down. Are your feet fitted? For example, when I go to look at my shoe closet, I have to get shoes that are fitted for the event that I'm going to. Sometimes when I'm working outside or just chilling, flip-flops work. All the time here, I'm fitting my shoes. I need good shoes on. But there are times where I'm speaking or I'm at a professional event, and these shoes will not work for the situation that I am in, correct? Like, you need a different shoe. So the English Standard Version, or the NIV as well, says that your feet are fitted. Somebody say fitted. So the shoe has to fit the person getting into the shoe. The shoe has to fit the person getting into the shoe. Now, I've noticed, let's use an example of Paul. Paul, in the book of Acts, he is explaining the gospel. He's sharing the gospel. And every time he goes before a king or a ruler, or if he's in front of disciples, here's what he does. He has a shoe that is fitted on him, personal. He says, here is who God is. That's who God is. He says, here who is I am. And Paul will explain who he was. I was a Jew. I did all these things. I was the best one. But I killed a lot of Christians. And then he said, here is what Christ did. And then Paul would say, here is who I am in response to them. He was fitting himself with the gospel of peace. He understood who God was. He understood who Paul was. He understood what Jesus had done. And then he said, I made that personal in my life. For example, I put on shoes that were fitted. Somebody say fitted. Some of us, I used to be this person. When I was young, my parents went to church. So therefore, we went to church. The door was open. We were there. But I knew in my heart that I did not have shoes that were fitted for me. I was using my parents' shoes. You know what I'm talking about? A kid will go in your closet when they're young and they try to get your shoes on. They walk around. They're like, oh, that's great shoes. And they don't fit. And for years of my life in junior high school and even a little bit of high school, I was leading into my parents' salvation thinking I'm getting in because of my parents. I had never picked out a pair of shoes that were fitted for the gospel of peace that were personal to me. And I'll never forget whenever it's the end of my, I think, 9th or 10th grade year and I'm at a camp and all of a sudden I realize I'm empty. I don't have shoes. I don't have something that is fitted for my feet. I can't go off of what my mom and dad do. I have to go off of who I am. You can't wear your family's shoes. You have to go and get yourself a pair. Now, the good news is the pair is free. We learned that last week. So you get yourself a pair, and then you remember what Christ has done. You say, my shoes are fitted. And you start to say that story, and you start to walk in God's goodness. You begin to walk in God's grace. You begin to be like Paul and say, my feet are fitted. I got some shoes that are working for me. I know what is the gospel of peace, which is salvation. So I'm walking in that. I've got some shoes on me, and they're not for anybody else. They're mine. Can I tell you my story? Can I tell you what God has done? And so the first part of that scripture this morning says, feet that are fitted. Somebody say fitted. Don't say feeded, say fitted. And then it goes on, it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness. With the readiness. A lot of times we'll just talk, we'll go right to the gospel of peace. That's good, but we have to be ready so that our feet are fitted with the readiness that comes from the gospel of peace. This morning, I have to ask a question, is are you prepared for the battle? We play a game at our house. It's called Catan. It's a battle game. I love this story. I can't believe I'm going to tell my secrets to you guys, but I felt it was like a good story to sort of make this make sense. When we play Catan as our family, the point is you get 10 points. It's a game, and it's not like an illogical game. It's all about scheming and making sure that you're winning, and there's a war, and there's an enemy, and you're growing cities, and you're growing towns. And so we play this game, and it's for 10 points. We play together, and I just want to let y'all know that most of the time I always win. I like to win. And so what I do is in this battle game that we play together, and my kids can nod. They can say, no, they don't, but they know it's true that I do win. And so what happens is that I will begin to scheme. I will begin to become the enemy, and I will look at people's weaknesses in my family. So, for example, Ted knows, and I'm going to say this, but I will look at Ted's weaknesses in this game. And I will begin to plot and plan. And I already know what his weaknesses are. Ted will get so consumed in building something in the game. And I'm like, let him build. I don't care. He got a couple of points. I don't care. Because I'm going to come in the back way. And I'm going to attack him some other way. And I'm going to get my points. There are other individuals in my family that like fighting with each other. That's good. So they just fight with each other the whole time, bickering and yelling and whatever. And I'm just chilling, trying to cook food at the same time or whatever I'm doing. And I'm just going to let them bicker. I'm going to let them fight because, again, they're fighting against each other and they're not fighting the person that's getting ready to win the game. That's me. And so I have them pit at each other, and they'll get a small victory. Like they might win a couple of points or they build a road, hallelujah, or a little city or town. I don't care because I am plotting against them and I've got schemes against them and I'm willing to win the game. I am ready, y'all. I am above ready. And so I'm just sitting there with the readiness, probably not of the gospel of peace, but I'm ready to win the game. And so I'm sitting and I'm like, I'm going to win. And they can have 7 points and I have 5, but I'm just targeting not the game. I am targeting them with their weakness. And I think the enemy does the same thing with us. He targets us at our weakness. He's just waiting. Let me find a way into their life. Let me find a way into their addiction. Let me find a way into the thing that has been getting at them over and over again. And so the enemy just sits and plots, and he don't care if you got a small victory. He don't even care if you got some fitted shoes. He doesn't want you to be ready. And the only time that my kids and my family can beat me in the game of Catan is when they realize who the enemy is. It's me. And every now and then they'll target me. And once they start targeting me and once they come after me, there is nothing that I can do because they're stealing from me and they're robbing me. And they're like, mom's the enemy, mom's the enemy. And eventually I go down, y'all. Like I have 6 points, they have 10, every single one of them. But that's the enemy. He gets us pitted against each other. He gets us fighting against each other. And we thought, oh, I'm in a battle. I don't have to be ready. But the enemy is coming for your family. I'm just saying that. The enemy is coming for your marriage. And we're pretending like we don't have to be ready. Enemy is looking for ways to attack you, to cause you to sin, to cause you to get out of the calling and the anointing and the purpose that God has for your life. He is looking to, God already gave the gift, but Satan is looking for a way to stop the gift, to stop the purpose, to stop the plans, to stop the generations that are coming behind you. And the way that he does it is that we're not ready. We just think we don't have to fight. We think we don't have to do anything. And the Lord says, no, you need shoes that are fitted with readiness. Somebody say readiness. You need to be a person that understands the enemy is coming to attack your life. The Bible says when storms come, not if they come. The Bible says when storms come. So we have to be a people that say, okay, I'm not going to be easily shaken. I'm going to show up. I'm going to continue. I'm going to be steadfast. I'm going to be immovable. I'm always going to abound. It's a decision of our heart that every morning when you get out of the bed, you get shoes that are fitted, but you get shoes that are ready. It's both. If you have a fitted shoe, but you're not ready to get up in the morning, what happens? You go back to bed, right? You go back to laziness or slothfulness or to addiction or whatever your thing is. If you don't have shoes that are fitted with readiness. I'm ready. I'm ready. You know when you get to quit fighting? On the other side. I'm fighting till the end. My last breath, I'm going to be praying for someone. It says you're not going to be easily surprised. You should expect spiritual pushback. How many of us fasted for 3 weeks and all of a sudden there was some pushback? And you're like, oh, I didn't know that was going to happen. You're fasting. God's moving. Of course there's going to be some spiritual pushback. Of course the enemy is scheming for you and your family and the generations come about behind you. You have to be ready. Somebody say ready. You stay in balance. You're in the truth of God's word. Excuse me. So you have shoes that are fitted with readiness. And look at the last part. It says this. And with your feet fitted, that you have your own story, you have your own salvation, you're walking in your testimony, and then you have readiness prepared for whatever comes that day. You already prayed up. You've already talked with the Lord. You've already read the word. You already know the battle's coming. You already know your proclivities to where God can move and where the enemy can take you out. So you got them all guarded. And then it says, and with your feet fitted with the readiness that comes from the what? The gospel of peace. There are a lot of religions in this world that are not a gospel of peace, but ours is. It says shoes will make you ready. No shoes, you know, no barefoot, no flip-flops and things like that. But let your feet be ready to move with the gospel. So my assignment, your assignment this morning, is that you will get a pair of shoes that are fitted, but you will be ready for the attack of the enemy, but you will boldly declare the gospel of peace. Be alert, be prepared, but also say, God, I'm willing to go. God, open a door so I could tell my friends. God, help me to tell my boss the gospel of peace, the good news of Jesus. God, help me to share with someone today. God, open up a door where I'm checking out somebody at the register, at the Walmart, and God, help me to share the gospel of peace. Isaiah 52 and verse 7 says, how beautiful on the mountains are the what? The feet of him who do what? Bring good news. Oh, I love that. How beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who bring good news. Of course, this is Jesus, but as Christ followers, this is us too, who bring good news, who publish what? Peace. Notice that Paul is taking from the prophet Isaiah, and he's writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, hey, you need to be ready, and you need to have the readiness and the shoes that are publishing peace, who brings good news of happiness, who publishes what? Salvation. Who says to Zion, your God reigns. That is a picture of Christ, but it is a picture of God and us. In other words, we are to be a people that are ready to give the gospel of peace to whomever and however we meet. God keeps you standing. He also says that telling the gospel strengthens your grasp of it. You ever told somebody the gospel and you got a little bit nervous? You ever said, I'm going to mess that up. I don't know exactly what to say. You know what you have to say? Your testimony. You just got to show them your shoes. And everybody has a different pair, but it all comes through one person, and his name is Jesus. So you can share your testimony, and it may be imperfect, and it may be full of some hard things. You might got a couple of souls missing and like a little hobnob there, you know, because you've been in battle. But you know that what God has done in your life is fitted for you, and you are ready for the battle, but then you have an assignment and a mission over your life, and that is to share the gospel of peace with whoever. Somebody say whoever. Whoever you can meet. Can we play some music this morning? I want to close and ask you, are your shoes ready? Do you even have shoes? You know, you could be walking in somebody else's salvation, and that's not yours. You could. I've done it. I've been there. Perhaps you even, like, took off the shoes and, like, oh, I'm gonna just do my own thing for a bit. And God just said, hey, just put those shoes back on. And then this morning, my next question is, are you ready? These battles are not strange. In James, it says, count it all joy, my brothers and sisters, when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience, and let patience have its perfect work that you might be perfected and complete. So we're going through things, and we're going through battles, and we will go through battles so that we can bring the gospel of peace to whomever we meet. This building, this ministry, is just an example of that. This is not a church that came from another church or has been here for hundreds of years. This was simply a ministry that went out into the streets of East Houma and told people about Jesus. And we just began to declare the good news of the gospel to whomever we meet. Just share the story of how we had fitted shoes on and we were ready. And do you want that same thing? It's simple. It's just the gospel. This is the good news that we are to share to others so that others can know the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Would you bow your head, please, and close your eyes? This morning, if you don't have shoes that are yours, we could probably help both ways, physically. But more importantly is spiritually. If you don't know Jesus the Christ, if you don't know him as Lord, as Savior, and you've been hanging on to somebody else, today's your day. Oh, the joy whenever I gave my life to Christ. I tell this story all the time. I remember I got saved in the 90s. We sang our God is an awesome God for 2 hours, and I just didn't care because I understood for the first time that my God was an awesome God. And he filled me. I was a pretty good kid, but I had a sin nature, and I was empty, and I was full of fear, full of just loneliness. And the Lord came, and he changed me in an instant. He can do the same for you this morning. If you've never accepted Christ, if you've never believed in Christ as your Lord and Savior, would you just pray with me? We're going to pray out loud. The Bible says in Romans, if you believe in your heart and you confess in your mouth, you will be saved. On the outside, we're going to look the same. But on the inside, God's going to do a work because we believe and we confess. And the Bible says the angels of heaven rejoice because of the salvation of one of us this morning. So if that's you this morning, would you boldly pray out loud with me? Say, dear Jesus, I need some shoes. I need the shoes of the gospel of peace in my life. I confess I'm a sinner and I've done things wrong. Lord God, I am empty on the inside, but I need you to fill me, to change me. I believe you died on the cross for my sin, and you are seated at the right hand of God the Father, praying for me. And today I ask to be your kid. And I will walk with you. Help me, Lord. Today, thank you for my salvation. If that's you this morning, grab a word, grab the Bible, keep on coming, join a small group, do all the things. It helps us because we're going to have to do this commitment every morning. But for others in the room, I want to pray over you. I want to pray over you that if you're facing a battle this morning and you've been sort of like, I can't believe it, I can't, just be ready. Just be ready. Say, okay, God, I'm putting on my shoes. There's probably something that the Lord's trying to do, and before that will happen, there will be a battle. That's just like normal. That's just the way of living. So if you've been through some things this week or through this month or maybe this year is like, oh, this is all a battle. There is a victory on the other side. There is a salvation on the other side. There is a generational life change on the other side. And what the enemy's doing is just attacking you so that you don't fulfill the plans and purpose of your life. Somebody in the room, that's you. Probably more than one. And you just need to say, that's it. I'm going to fight. That's it. I'm done being wishy-washy to and fro. I'm just going to put on my shoes, which sounds strange, but I'm going to get firm. I'm just going to go to war. I'm going to battle. I'm going to battle for my kids. I'm going to battle for my family. I'm going to battle for my job or for that person that you've been reaching, for your next door neighbor, whatever it is. And you're going to bring them the gospel of peace. That's you. That's your assignment. God has given you influence in your world. My world's different than your world. Your sphere of influence, you go out these doors and you've got people that we'll never see, that we'll never hear from, but your assignment is to be ready, fight the battle, and then say, okay, Lord, now how beautiful are the feet of those who go and share the good news. And that's you, my friend. That's you. And when we get to heaven, because of Christ, we'll see all these people behind us that we have led to Jesus. Or maybe you're just planting a seed, right? Like you're just planting a seed. Oh, they're not coming to Jesus. Good, plant another seed. They don't listen. Good, plant another seed. Be joyful in the Lord. Keep on praying. Keep on fasting. Keep on. Put on those shoes this morning. God, we pray, God, each one of us in the room, that we will carry this assignment. God, that we will walk out these doors and say, yes, Lord. And that we will say, I am ready. I am fitted. And I am going to give the gospel of peace. God, our assignment as believers. The reason why we aren't caught up to heaven yet is because you have the purpose. God, how thankful we should be that we get to go and share the gospel, God, to everyone we meet. So God, we pray for boldness. God, we pray for steadfastness. God, for those going through the battle this morning, that you will be with them, that you will equip them. God, that you will keep them stable, that their feet will be on a firm foundation, who is Christ. And God, this morning, we walk out of these doors saying, God, send me. God, send us. Whatever that looks like, that we will not be discouraged, and that we will continue to get battle ready all series long. In Jesus' mighty name we pray. And everyone said, amen, amen. Amen.